All right, welcome to the first ever City of Spag Bell Lap, where we're going to preview all the Boston Marathon action. I'm Chris Chavez, and I'm joined by my good friends Dana Giordano and David Melly. So today's episode and the first inaugural preview episode is brought to you by the Mercury Mile. They've been sponsoring our coverage for the entire weekend. They are fusion fashion and function for all runners. The Mercury Mile creates a personal shopping experience for men and women at any stage in their running journey. The process is easy. One, create a profile at mercurymile.com. You pick a shipping date, then you receive and explore a curated box of custom-picked running apparel from your personal stylist that matches your fit, style, and unique running needs. Keep what you love, send back anything you don't. It's free shipping and free returns, as always, and it's no subscription, so you can try it once and see if you like it. Try it today at www.mercurymile.com, and you get $10 off your stylist fee if you use promo code CITIUS10. So check it out, mercurymile.com. So the first topic is Molly Huddle, because everyone's been talking about her. I believe like the Let's Run poll shows that she's the favorite. I wrote a SI feature about her because I presume she's the favorite. David's giving me a look because he disagrees, but she's the talk of the town. Do you think she's a favorite? And we'll go with Dana first, and we'll let the takes simmer from David.
Ooh, Team Molly.
Okay.
I think she is fit. She's ready to go. Well, last time that she had a major performance in New York, she got third 12 weeks after Rio. So I think this is the first time she's really laid it out there. She's an absolute beast on the road. Like, Molly Huddle, she's in a race with me, I'm like, man, I'm gonna be behind you by at least a minute every single time. So, I mean, I'm Team Molly. I just don't see how she's not in contention at the very end. I mean,
yeah.
It depending on how it shakes out in the last half mile, who knows? But I think top American, hands down, Molly Huddle.
So you think it could come down to the last half mile, like 800 meters, like there'd still be more than one person left?
Yeah, I do for the women's field this year.
Wow, that's pretty intense. I can see it, the way I think I see it shaping out is just because it's like, it's going to be slow because of the weather. It's going to be a lot of people tightly bunched up. And then in the end, like, it would be really cool to see four women coming off, I guess, on that last turn onto Boylston Street. But that's a lot of people. And then
I didn't say four, I just said someone.
Yeah, the joke there would be if someone's like, oh yeah, and so then what happens? Molly Huddle gets like pipped at the finish line by someone else, and it's like,
oh, she celebrates a little too early.
But she's learned her lesson. I think Molly Huddle wins in a photo finish Boston Marathon. But
ooh, wow,
David,
that's even a bolder prediction.
I think she'll be in it, but I think you can't consider her the favorite when there's two other world marathon major champions from the last year in the same race. She's run two marathons ever. She does not have the level of experience that some of the other Americans and East Africans have in the race. She's super talented, super accomplished runner, pretty much unstoppable on the roads at all the distances up through the half marathon, but the marathon is a different beast entirely, and I always defer to experience when it comes to the marathon. And the Boston Marathon specifically, especially with the way the forecast is looking, it's going to be a mental race. And I think that Molly is certainly, tough, but she doesn't have the pedigree of racing that some of these other
at the long distance, though, she's got that short speed.
Sure, but how can you consider her the favorite in a race that she's barely dipped her toes into?
I don't think I would consider the favorite at the marathon distance. She's a favorite for me in Boston this weekend because she's focused on this for this year. You know,
yeah.
The entire training cycle's around it. Shalane, we'll talk about her, but this came after New York. She was on a total press whirlwind tour, fairy tale.
Yeah, this.
And like, that's distracting. That's distracting. Molly has been focusing on this. She trains alone most of the time. And she's just been locked in. And I think she has the mental edge and the speed at the very end to take it.
I will say the thing she said she was most worried about is that she has been doing way higher mileage than she's ever done before. She was worried she would be a little tired from it. And if that's your biggest problem going into a marathon, I think you're in pretty good shape, you know?
Yeah, are we discounting the international field too much?
100%. We are completely discounting them.
Because, like, yeah, the reason I don't really enjoy going to some of the press conferences beforehand is because these East Africans, you go there and you kind of, like, you know what the Americans have done, because a lot of times they race before these marathons. These Africans stay in Kenya and they just train, and so you just have to take them at their word for what they say they've been doing. And no one's going to come into this race and be like, oh, I had a terrible buildup, my calf's bothering me, or like I had a hip injury like a couple weeks ago. No one's going to lie. They've got these appearance fees to check, and then they're going to show up, and maybe they'll drop out if it's not their day. But I think Edna Kiplagat, if she is, like, I guess, in similar shape to what she did last year. Last year she just threw down the hammer after, like, 21 or 22 miles that she just buried everyone. And so I think if she's in similar shape, then she probably might contend for the win there as well.
Yeah, I think what you said about the weather is a huge factor.
Yeah, I think she said she didn't like the rain, and so that's not a good sign.
I don't know. I haven't checked the weather for Monday anymore, so last I checked it was hard to harder rain and then headwind, so I think that definitely favors someone like Molly. I don't know, she's been training in Arizona a little bit, but she's from an hour and a half south. She's from Providence. She's gritty, tough. She can throw down.
So we'll move right into topic number two, which is, I guess, right up David's alley, because it's on his shirt, the Sidious Mag shirt, the Fuck Yeah shirt that we released back in November. So it's Shalane. How do you think she does if, I guess, coming off this, I guess, celebratory tour that she had?
You're making it sound like she's been partying it up for the last 6 months.
We saw,
it's certainly distracting.
Everything that I've heard has indicated that she's fit, that she's had the best workouts marathon-wise that she's had. You know, anyone who can be in the middle of a marathon build-up and run 8:40 in the 3K is clearly ready to roll, and she's one of the most accomplished, if not the most accomplished, marathoner in the American field. And she is a stud. She just is a game day player. She's from Marblehead. She's a Boston girl. She's ready to... She loves this race. She wants to win this race badly. And she has, you know, she has the experience, her and Desi, that some of these younger studs have. I think if this was going to be a race 1 and 219, that would be a different conversation. I think because looking at the conditions, it's probably going to be a slower race, a more, I don't want to say tactical, but a grittier race. I think that she is going to be in contention with everybody, and when it comes down to it, she's someone who delivers when the stakes are high. I think the only thing going against her is just the numbers. You know, the idea of anyone whose name isn't Eliud Kipchoge winning two world marathon majors within a period of 6 months is pretty much next to unheard of in the recent era. But, you know, if you count that out, I think there's no reason not to believe that she can't deliver again.
Danny, do you think it's too much pressure on someone like Shalane?
Yeah, I think she wants it too much.
Okay.
We like good stories, we like perfect stories, but that would just tie the bow, say retire, gonna take Boston, gonna go home, and I think she's putting all her eggs in one basket. Last time she was here, she wanted it so badly, and Jordan just looked good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last time Shalane was here, she didn't look as strong. Coming off of New York, it's different, but I don't think we all thought Shalane was gonna win New York. It was kind of a surprise.
No. Yeah.
Now there's a lot of pressure going on, and I think she just wants it so, so much that sometimes this race is mental, the hills are mental, you have to be there at the end. And if she wants to throw it out in sub-16 with that last 5K again.
Well, Huddle has those wheels too, so it's like, that's my counter-argument.
Yeah, I think so. I think Molly
hasn't run 8:40 in the 3K in the last
But
two
I think
months.
She has
she
that,
could've.
Huddle has that 9K that Shalane doesn't, you know, like, Shalane could potentially retire after this.
Mm-hmm.
This could be it. And that is so much pressure at the end.
What a way to go out, though. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be too perfect.
Do you think, okay, David, if you were Shalane, I know you've pictured this before, being Shalane, would you retire if you won Boston?
I don't know. I can see that being a great way to go out, but I think that there's, you know, always more to do, always another race. You know, I always think that you want to, you know, stay in the game till you aren't at the top of it anymore, but she could also, you know, pull a reverse Gwen and just go Olympic triathlon 2020. You heard it here first. Shalane's going for gold. But no, I don't know. We'll see. I think I can see her going for a world championship in 2019, and then maybe calling it after that. But I think if this is the end of the road for her, what a way to go. You know?
Dana, you were shaking your head.
I think we have this different image of Americans where you do one great thing and you're done, where these African runners are showing up to every single marathon until you really reached your end in your peak. So I think
one great thing has she landed
on? Well, no, like on the marathon, like the marathon scene. Like she, I don't think she's even cracked what she can do. You know, like she's getting more money from showing up to Boston than she would if she wins.
Yeah.
So the next marathon major in the U.S., if she does Chicago or I don't know where else, she'll get a big appearance fee, and that's kind of hard to step away from. I don't think we're talking about it enough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's never struck me as like a money-driven athlete, especially now that she's in commercials and all this stuff.
I don't think you're a money-driven athlete until your number tips over six figures.
Yeah. And then, so like, she was pretty careful, I guess, when they asked her. It's like, oh, like, is this it? Is this your final one? And she said, this is probably my final Boston, but probably not, like, my final, like, marathon. So that kind of leaves the door
she's
open.
She's hedging her bets to win. She doesn't want to say, if I win Boston, I'm going out.
Yeah, and at the same time, like, there is an appearance fee waiting for her in New York. And so I guess, like, it's really hard to pass up on. Like, the defending champ always gets that check, like, waiting for them. So
I think she just goes, I like the Chicago idea,
you
know?
You do.
Win New York, win Boston, win Chicago.
Wow, this is
America.
This
wow.
is a circus,
you know?
Circus over here. You're living in a different world.
Yeah, I'm living in Shalane's world. Hop on board.
Now, I guess let's move into the other, I guess, Nike athlete who is in this race. She's got the most recent fastest personal best of anyone in this field, because she's the second fastest American on paper. So Dina's got the American record. She's in the race. We made this mistake, actually, on a previous taping of this podcast, where I said that Jordan has the fastest PR. She doesn't. Dina's in the field. David reminded me. I made that mistake. So Jordan's got the fastest personal best of anyone in the field in the past, like, 3 years, I think. So why isn't she the favorite?
Do you want to go first, Dan?
I don't think Jordan's the favorite because she's freaked us all out. She pulls out a world half. We don't really know what's going on. She hasn't raced a ton.
Mm-hmm.
DNSs make me nervous, man.
Really?
That's the, you know, if you're pulling out of races, I know the NLP folks, they like to do that, but I'm hearing peroneal, I'm hearing interrupted training. That's not a good sign, you know?
Yeah.
And she might be hustling all of us, you know, but
it's all about the story, too. It's like Jordan coming back, she ran so well in Boston last year, and the really focus has been on Shalane coming off of New York and Molly really attacking the distance, and then Desi being kind of returner.
Mm-hmm.
So how many storylines can you have with the women's field?
It's amazing.
I'm surprised she hasn't gone for a faster marathon. I mean, you know, obviously you want to win Boston, but, you know, something like London or Berlin, I think I could see her running one of those and really going after the American record. You know, she seems like the kind of runner who would
do
well.
I don't really know why she's doing Boston.
Want to win. I get it. You know, and thank God she is doing Boston.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how you feel about NOP or Nike, you're like, how awesome is it that we're sitting here and talking about, you know, basically the four best American marathoners we have now going head to head.
Right.
No one ever goes head-to-head in this sport anymore, you know? Everyone's always dodging each other, and the fact that we get this, like, all-star showdown, like, that's just so awesome, you know?
Yeah, and so I guess the thing with Jordan, too, is just, like, there's definitely, you know, a good check probably waiting from the BAA, and 220 is super fast in Chicago. I guess, like, she's young, and this is only marathon number 3 for her, so I guess those opportunities and that window is still kind of open for her to chase a fast time. I don't think I'm as alarmed by the withdrawal of from World Halves. So I think on a great day, and also, this is the point I was going to make before, this was, we talked about the Nike and the sponsorships and all that. They want to put that swoosh across the finish line as well and make another commercial. So it's like, I think Jordan, it's going to take an A, like if we kind of like had to say, what is it going to take for these runners to win? Jordan would take an A, maybe an A plus, not an A plus day. She can win with an A day. Shalane, I think she could win with like an A or, and might take an A plus day for her. Desi, definitely an A plus. Molly, maybe a B plus and she wins. I don't know. I'm being very optimistic there. What do you think it takes Jordan to win?
I watched last year Coolidge Corner, so I guess that was mile 22, and her form was beautiful.
Really?
She just doesn't break down. I think that's her biggest strength over this course, is that she's so smooth. I think for Jordan to win, she runs well alone, you know? It's not really this pack type of running. So if it strings out and she can reel people in, kind of thing, but the pack running, I think, favors some of the runners and not Jordan.
Yeah.
Because she trains alone. She does most of her everything.
Yeah.
So I think when she has a groove going, she doesn't need anyone else pulling her along. So I think a day where it breaks up early and you can reel people back in is where Jordan takes it.
Plus, I don't know, she's a California girl, you know, she's out there, West Coast, she's not used to humidity, she's not used to weather. I think what takes it for Jordan to win is for the forecast to change. You know, I
external factors.
And maybe
letting
my
weather update.
Hardcore
is a weather
New England
update for Monday.
I think it was like 20 mph winds is the last thing I heard.
Oh,
we're not
God.
On the Wi-Fi because Wi-Fi is off right now. But
can you send the data for this?
Yeah. So it's like, I think Jordan, it would take. Yeah, I see her as maybe like the second or third American across the finish line.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we'll move into the last American that we're going to discuss here.
I will say before you go,
yeah.
How great is it that we're talking about, you know, four Americans in contention for
mm-hmm.
a win? Not even just going head to head with each other, but
the win,
going
yeah.
for the win as well. You know, I mean, we are really in a golden age of women's American marathoning, and the fact that we're having this conversation, and we're like almost like you were saying at the beginning, like almost assuming that, you know, there's a better chance of an American winning than not is like a pretty good place to be.
Do you think it's bad though? Like if they don't win. Like, do you think we're going to be, like, so much more upset than we were, like, maybe in the past couple of years that this, it didn't happen this year, and this might have been the best chance for it to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah?
For sure. I think that anytime we're Patriots here, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a very patriotic place, Boston, kind of the heart of the American Revolution,
mm-hmm.
but of course we're upset about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be a reality check, you know?
Yeah, and that's the best way of putting it.
In our head of, like, you know, at the BAA 5K this morning, like, we think about, like, Americans chasing each other and who's going to be the best from that side. And Molly Seidel was the top American in fifth today.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of fast runners out there and you know, as much as we like to hold up our runners and they have really shown, you know, winning majors, winning medals at the Olympics and Worlds, but it's a big world out there
yeah.
and the East Africans haven't gotten any worse at marathon,
yeah.
that's for sure.
The American women especially race a lot less.
Yeah.
So we're not getting as many touch points to really know how the progression are. They started older in their career, really rolling off the track,
mm-hmm.
so Molly's finally transitioning off the track. Shalane's still doing indoor races.
Yeah.
And that's just not the way it is. Like, there's been this lot of conversation about these Japanese young marathoners. So what could
and
it be
and how they move, like, so quick, yeah.
we moved our marathons earlier in our careers and did more of them. Who knows?
So Dana's going to do a marathon next week or something like that. That quick. We're
yeah.
shift it.
Yeah, yeah. Next week. Right after I do a 1500.
Alright, last American woman we're going to discuss, Desi. She's consistently, I guess, running Boston's number 6, I think, for her. Last few times out, she's finished 4th. She's just like a human metronome when it comes to pacing. Does that favor her in a race like with these weather conditions where everyone's going to be like pretty tight, packed up?
I think, like Shalane, you know, the fact that we're probably looking at a 226, 227 effort for the win is going to favor her. I think that she's a great, you know, such a smart runner. And a lot of times the way people fuck up in Boston is by making stupid tactical mistakes. I think it was, I guess, probably 2 years ago when whoever was in the lead went, like, burning down the hill coming off the half and, like, completely blew up in the last 5 miles, you know, and stuff like that happens all the time in marathons and happens all the time specifically in
mm-hmm.
Boston, and someone like Desi can take advantage of the weather, can take advantage of her experience. It's almost like she's run Boston before and that qualifies her to do better at a Boston marathon.
Yes.
But, you know, I think realistically, you know, there's so many studs in the race and her sort of top end is, I wouldn't say good enough to win on its own, but if she has a good day and a bunch of other people have bad days, it could be her time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I've changed my take on Desi.
Okay.
So I think, prove me wrong, I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening.
Really?
She's on the track so many times. again, why come back to Boston? Why the Boston Marathon? Why are you coming back? What do you have to prove here? You've proved so much. Do you want to run fast? She wants to be on the course that you're not going to run fast. That's what that says to me. You're coming back here to do another marathon.
She's 34. I think, like, at this point in her career, like, maybe she acknowledges that the PRs are maybe behind you. I know she could still obviously chase it, but the great thing was, I talked to her this afternoon, actually, so, like, this actually helped for my answer.
The hottest takes there are.
Yeah.
Like, there we go.
So I said to her,
inside info.
I said to her, it was, first off, she said, just like, there's no pressure on her. Like, she feels like, it's...
That's why I wanted to prove me wrong, because we haven't seen anything
that would indicate...
That would tilt us more towards her with all these other storylines going on.
The anti-Shalane,
saying?
There's no pressure, and that's...
I think so. That probably benefits her, because, I mean, the eyes are on Molly Jordan and Shalane, where it's just like, you know, I feel like, well, someone like me who's written a Desi story before, I wrote one last year before the race, it's like, you don't want to, like, rewrite a story.
You're famous. All right.
We don't want to discount
it's just like,
her, but
it's
she
like,
just hasn't thrown down
many,
that top end speed that I think this is really going to take past mile 20.
But she's been working on it. She's
been working.
She said, I will say, I watched her, you know, respect where respect is due. Desi did... The, what 5K was it at Franklin Park? I can't remember. The Mare's Cup. No, was it? She did a race in Boston, a cross-country race, as a 34-year-old marathoner. She did a 5K cross race against a bunch of...
No, I think she's trying. I just think...
She's not afraid to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
No, she's a badass in every way possible.
Yeah.
She's super cool, like, definitely. You know, now we're just, like, having people over here, but I think in this field... It would take a lot for her to be her day.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think she's got the shortest odds of like of the Americans, but that's not a bad thing.
We should throw some bets down, you know, put some money on it. I think you'll pay out a lot.
Speaking of hot takes, literal hot takes. I had her coffee this morning, the Ben-Trude Desi Linden coffee.
Mm.
It was good. It was good stuff. I'm just saying, you know, maybe that's the magic sauce this year. She had the coffee last year. This could be it. This could be the you know, lucky charm.
Everyone's talking about, you know, their special drinks and stuff. You know, we've got our own, sponsor, for the podcast.
Yes,
but
you've
got
to stay fueled.
But, yeah, it might be the coffee. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what more to say about Desi other than I'm excited to see what she does.
Six times the charm? Is that the new saying? If she wins it this time around?
I think it would be a really great story if she just comes through at the end.
I think it would be a really great story if you run into her after she wins Boston and she's seen this video.
That's why I'm saying, prove me wrong. I don't like to be the hater that someone's bringing down, but with this talented field, my odds are less on her. And there's a lot to choose from, and we are not talking about the African women very much.
Yeah.
I don't mind being a hater, just for the record.
So we'll get right into David's hating. Alright, next topic, Galen Rupp. Last year, second. This year, it seems like it's a rematch of, you know, Joffrey Karui and Galen Rupp once again. You throw in a couple other, like, 204 guys. Galen's actually, like, number 16 or something like that on the list of, like, PRs, like, if you rank them. The guy's, like, he's only run 209, but he's probably, like, a 206 guy. Do you see him winning, I guess, on... I guess, like, the better question is, yes, you could see him winning, but, like, is it a good thing? If he wins, like, considering what the Boston Globe story was on the front page of the paper yesterday.
Do you want will he win or should he win first?
Give me both, yeah.
All right, will he win? I'm saying no, and here's why. Galen is just as credentialed in terms of performances, results, as some of the other guys in the race, Tola and Karui, and they've run 5 minutes faster than he has. You know, it's like if you take out the American, non-American, you just look at the results on paper, you know, if you take guys with pretty even resumes, and two of the three of them have way faster PRs, I mean, those are the guys I'm going with, and I think, you know, it's a classic example of, that we see all the time in the marathon, is like, betting the field is always a safe bet.
Yeah.
Unless it's Kipchoge, like, pretty much, your money is best spent, you know, thinking against one person being the odds-on favorite to win any race, pretty much.
Now hit me with the shitty win.
Here's the thing. It'll be bad for the sport if he wins.
Ooh.
Set aside, you know, however you feel about Ruff, Salazar, NOP, any of that stuff, it just brings up this narrative of you know, allegations and USADA investigations and how much L-carnitine is too much L-carnitine. But, you know, it's just, if we're trying to grow the sport and, you know, you look at the narrative on the women's side where we have this great story that everyone, you know, I think we can all agree that you're going to be pretty much happy regardless of who wins if it's an American winner. And to put all of these clouds of doubt and, you know, as an outsider looking in, like a marathon is supposed to be a story about triumph and about, you know, the human spirit and not this, you know, weird cynicism that has come with, you know, all of this drama going around those people, you know?
Galen.
We just don't know what he's done. Like, does... Yeah. When was his last race?
Well, he did, I think, a couple...
He won Rome in, like, some 60.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in good shape.
He's
that much
shape.
Is clear, yeah.
See, I just know what he wants about the men, so I'm going to feel more general.
Yeah, does he excite you as an athlete?
As an athlete? No, not at all. Like, I've had that he has children. You'd never know that. Like, recently, he doesn't tell me anything about him. How am I supposed to be a fan of Galen?
Yeah.
You have to put out now, I mean... In this world of social media that we all live in, but you need to earn your fans, and I think he just doesn't really interact with what we're doing.
It's very robotic, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's an old school way of doing it, where Pri, for example, badass, like the story of every runner that looks like that, you know, you heard of him, but someone charismatic and interesting, whereas Galen's finish line interview, am I clicking on that? I don't know, because I don't know any personal details about the guy.
Yeah.
He's got
It's because he didn't click.
He's got a sketchy side over here. He doesn't share anything. And I don't know. I don't really care. A
lot of questions.
I just don't really care.
Chris, are you picking him?
To win? No. Because I think very similar to your point where it's like I think you have a couple of those East Africans where they have very similar credentials. I'm actually not even going with someone who's mentioned yet. I'm going with Norbert Keegan. For the win, there's never been a Boston Marathon champion named Norbert.
Okay, I don't know why you think this is a fact.
I looked it up.
It is a fact.
There's also never been.
I should also point out.
Has there been a Dana?
Maybe I don't know.
There's probably been a Dana.
There's been a David. I'm sure.
Sure, there's been a Chris too.
Probably a Chris. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. On a much more serious note, the guy ran 2:05 in Amsterdam. He finished second there. There was a bunch of people who ran like sub 2:07. He's 25 years old. He's a Kenyan. I think he's got a tremendous upside, and this is his first major, so it's a guy like that. He wants to prove himself. He wants to keep getting invited to these types of races. I think you can't count him out. I also saw a photo of him on Instagram, and he did not look 25 to me because I look 24. But
wow,
like, I'm 24.
Hot takes, yeah.
Look, he might be a little bit older, but I'm gonna go with him. I think Galen probably finishes like second or third. Because Karui can also, like, defend his title, but, I think...
I haven't come down to the end, last couple miles. But.
Yeah, I think Galen was broken at, like, 22 last year, so, we'll see how long he can hang. I think it does help that he has the experience of, like, 1 year now under his belt. So, outside of Galen, are there any U.S. storylines that, really excite you? We'll go to David.
Well, speaking of local boys, Tim Ritchie, CIM champion, former Boston College assistant coach, a Boston College grad, and a Worcester boy, is out here. I think he's had kind of a shorter build-up because he's here in CIM in December. I don't know if I'd necessarily pick him to win, but, you know, he's always in the mix of the top Americans. He's a great guy, you know, and is always a fun person to root for. Speaking of someone with a great personality, he's fun to follow on Instagram. But yeah, you know, I think, you know, Scott Smith, also a good one, guy who's kind of been grinding away for years and years under the radar. Dude is the worst luck ever with weather for marathons, but,
yeah.
You know, there's some good narratives out there. Yep.
Dana, what about you?
I like Kellen Taylor, mm-hmm. True fighter.
Firefighter.
There you go. Been grinding away, so I think she's someone who... It's got a lot of spunk. Well, might be in that top back for longer than we expect.
Yeah, and like I feel like no one's been talking as much. The big four have been like great, but she has like a sixth place showing in like the marathon trials. And I kind of like remember when I was writing out my preview, I was like I didn't mention her, and I was like I kind of felt bad. But at the same time, like, Ben Rosario gave, like, I think a great interview to some. I saw it on Twitter where he was just like, they're coming out here just kind of like to bust their ass. And like, they were just like, they put all this hard work and training for themselves to see what they can do and get the best out of themselves. And that's what the sport's all about. And so I think those two, Scott Smith, Tim Ritchie, and like Kellen Taylor, really exemplify that. And I think it's, those are three really good storylines that probably won't get much airtime on TV because they'll probably be behind some.
I think
leaders.
It'll be that nice awkward thing where they'll be in the front pack and mm-hmm. the commentator won't have any hot takes on
yeah.
them, and they'll
yeah.
be like, oh, that person from that random brand that we don't know, or
yeah.
oh, that's the worst when they have their prep notes of like the people they want to talk about and you're like
yeah.
well, that person is losing right now. That's like
yeah. So I'm hoping that our commentators do some research and really have some backups, because I think,
although Boston has always had great commentary,
yeah.
I will say.
I mean,
we don't watch on TV, watch on the course.
Yeah. We have a bingo card for those of you guys who are watching at home. Just go on citysmag.com. There is a bingo card where you can play along with the commentary. If something is said on the broadcast, or if there's, like, Shalane takes the lead, you cross off that square.
Could this also be a drinking game?
It could be a drinking game. Make it a drinking game for, like, the people.
Go down to your local track, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
how many times do you drink if they say Shalane won New York?
Well, it should probably be just take a sip or something like that. And then, like, med appearance, take
Boston.
A sip.
The streets are alive.
But play the bingo
That's
card.
All.
If you're not 21, then, like, you can...
do it with Morton.
Play bingo.
Wait,
the drinking game could be for the mature people.
We're
all
falling
right.
apart. We're falling apart.
Yeah, we're falling apart. Let's get the show back on the road. Let's see. What was the next topic after that?
Backwards running.
That's right. There's a guy who's running the whole Boston Marathon backwards. He's done it before at a previous marathon. And he's doing it for charity, so it's a good thing. It's kind of interesting. If you see the clips, we'll throw one in here right now. Does it impress you? Is this cool? Like, what are your thoughts? He's going for, like, 4 hours, I think.
Very impressive. Very impressive. Also, where does he start that he has enough room to backwards run and not give away people?
I think he has a guide, right? I think that's part of it.
He might, yeah.
I read the article, vaguely. no, I mean... Hot take. You know what's impressive is running 26.2 miles. As someone who has never done that, I can say that, you know, if you want to walk, crawl, backwards, forwards, however you want to do it, you can finish a marathon. That's you know,
I'm
okay
go,
in my
yeah. I'm going to go with a big why. You know, like...
How
do you discover you're on a beach, you're running backwards to get
I
a football
like,
or something, and you're like, this is my thing, I'm really good at backwards running.
There are easier Guinness World Records out there.
Totally.
There's a guy who juggled a marathon. Like, there's all these quirky things.
Yeah.
But...
eat a lot of something weird, that usually helps.
So I found out what the record is earlier today, because I was talking about this with someone else. Take a wild guess. What's the 400-meter world record for 400 backwards on the track?
62.
68.
You're closer. You're only a second off. It's 69.
Nice.
Steve Finley, who used to run for like the Oregon Track Club, we were talking about this earlier, and he ran 71. And we kind of looked it up, and it's like, what's like the backwards running like record? And it's 69.
Do you have that video?
There's got to be something on video. But the guy owns, I think, the record from like 400 to like 3K. Or no, like he has like 10K.
No one else wants to run a 3K backwards.
Let's put together a 100-meter backwards
yeah.
race. See how far
you can go. Yeah, Sidious Mag presents the 100-meter
I can barely stay on my feet running forwards. I don't even, you know.
What shoes would you wear? Because if you're at spikes, they're at the front.
Oh, yeah.
So you need like backwards spikes.
The Reebok has to get on this.
I'll tell them.
Do you though? Because you don't like run on your heels to
no.
run backwards.
Yeah,
like,
you'd still be on your toes a little
yeah,
bit.
But you,
yeah.
Just rip to
the
that dude's
entire
ass.
Biomechanics are off.
Yeah. Alright, last point. Shout out your friends. Who are some of the elites that you're looking forward to? Batteries running low on the camera, so let's get through this real quick.
Elites?
No, non-elites. Yeah, your friends. Shout them out.
Alright, we got our buddy Seth. Is running. He's just a grinder every day. Really, my training partner got me through a lot of the winter. It's just too many to say. Like, we're from Boston. It's really, are you running the marathon? Like, if you're running, like, you're essentially running the marathon. Like,
yeah.
We're all doing it together. We're like, no, we're not. We're
no,
running.
No,
we're running.
Not. I am not running the marathon.
No, but like, people see you running, and they're like, oh, you're doing the marathon, and there's
yeah.
a good percentage
yeah.
chance that answer is yes. So.
My
shout out to everyone.
My roommate Nick Lemon is running the marathon, and his girlfriend Erica Kawas. A lot of heartbreakers out there. Look for the distinctive logo of my team. But, you know, We got a crew. It's like a big happy family of Boston running that every year gets out there and gets on that course.
We've got a CSMAC track club kit is debuting, I believe, with one guy running.
Fire.
Going to shoot, I think, for 3:30 around there. So nice start for the club. And then I'll give a shout out to my boy David Perry, who ran at Portland with like guys like Scott Fobel. And he's been grinding. He does like all the stuff with the Adidas runners in New York. And so, looking forward to seeing how fast he runs and maybe he'll chase like an Olympic trial qualifier maybe in the fall. So,
respect to everyone with the weather, really. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to wear? I would be freaking out.
Yeah, exactly. So that does it for the first ever City Smack Bell app.
Yay.
It's been quite the journey getting this thing all together, but we're done. Hope you guys enjoy it. Be sure to check out the Mercury Mile. They're doing a lot of cool stuff.
Drink Morton. Follow Kirsch on Twitter. All of the classic
Follow
city
us on Instagram.
Exactly.
Yeah, Instagram right down here.
Exactly.
Listen to Run Your Mouth. All the good stuff.
All these links in the description. but yeah, thanks
cheer
a lot for watching.
Local
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks a lot for watching, and we'll catch you guys at another time.